Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
How are you, Black?
I am well. Look, like Scotty says, I'm okay. I'm just here behind these enemy lines.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes, Lord knows we behind these enemy lines.
I feel them, boy.
Another one?
Woo! All these bullets coming at us.
But you know what? We are like Neo in the Matrix, and we are blocking all of those bullets and all of those weapons that are being formed, because they will not prosper. And we are moving on. Righteousness will prevail. And you know, when you are winning, the enemy just comes with full force.
Exactly.
But you know, we're winning.
How do they do it?
They try to enter their clip, as they say, their clip. They're trying to enter their clip, baby. They're trying to enter that clip. I'm like Uncle T now. We're gonna keep on rolling though. Hey, you can't stop this.
No.
So I'm super excited.
That means the harder they fight, the stronger you appear to them, you know? So we're waking up and getting stronger. And it's just bringing out all the hidden evilness that's been there all the time. They just feel like they have a green light.
Whatever. I'm not even thinking about these silly people. What I am thinking about is I'm super excited about tonight. We have a great show tonight, everyone. Tonight we will welcome in social media influencer Taryn Rain of Taryn Rain Reloaded. Taryn Rain Reloaded. And coming back to the Mind, Body, and Spirit, Carlinia Springer of Sacred Spaces. And she's going to help some of us deal with some of this trauma and drama that we are experiencing. And Taryn, he's just going to bring it to us, as he always brings it on his YouTube channel. So if you're not following Taryn Rain, you can always follow him at Taryn Rain Reloaded on YouTube. And so we are always, as you know, Feather Light, raising our frequencies, lifting our vibration, speaking our truth, speak our truth, and healing our hearts with the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show tonight. And tonight we will honor, for our African Spirit segment, the Most Honorable Ida B. Wells Barnett. May peace be upon her. And you may say, well, you've already talked about Ida B. Wells before. Why are you speaking about her again? Well, her birthday is July 15th. That's why we're speaking about her again tonight. And there's just so much to Ida B. Wells. And I'm not going to go through, oh, she was a reporter, and she was an investigative reporter, and she, no, we're not going to do that, because we've already done that, and everybody does it. What we're going to do is just capture a short excerpt from one of my anthology, literature, African-American anthology books, just an excerpt from her red record. We'll just read a little bit of that. Because you already know about Ida B. Wells, I'm sure. So if you don't, then Google it. We're not going to play and all of that tonight. We've already been there, done that. Okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So.
Yes.
And you can always send your letters in to mindbodyspiritradioshow@gmail.com, and we will read your letter and hopefully give you an answer that can give you some guidance. And you can always follow us on the Twitters, MB Spirit Radio. That's at MB Spirit Radio. And we ask that you follow us also on the BTR community page. And you can join the BTRcommunity.com for $24 a year. You can't beat that. $24 a year, you can join the BTR community. That way you can also engage in the social media experience. We're so into social media now. I love social media. It's a way to connect with different people. And talk about whatever you want to talk about, share what you want to share. And, you know, I always say they never thought we would use social media like this to connect in the way that we have been able to connect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sure, because we've been able to organize via social media. And if you join the BTR community, that's the way for you to communicate. Read about different stories, different articles, whatever. Same thing to be on the Twitter and the Facebook and all that Snapchat and all that stuff, too. But I love BTR community. And Featherlight, you can share some of what you've been posting in regards to the 21-Day Sacred Challenge. And I have been participating, although I have not posted yet. Oh, my God. Slap me. But I know that you've been updating our page, and so you can always follow us on our Mind, Body, and Spirit page on the BTR. And don't forget to donate. Go to Black Talk Media Network page and submit your donation so that we can keep these shows coming to you. And Scotty Reed has the goal of building more media centers, and Lord knows we need that. We have to have our own media. Yes, we do. So
Tell our story.
Now, I'm forever grateful for Scotty for starting Black Talk Media Network. So.
Me too.
Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scotty. That is an endeavor, and he is always improving and learning. And,
oh, my gosh,
and
yes.
It's just remarkable. You know, sometimes we can get so complacent. I know I've gotten a little complacent over the years. But I love people like Scotty that are always trying to make things better, always trying to ameliorate and improve upon what he has. So, definitely.
And he's providing so much opportunity for people to have their own platform to address the subjects of their particular interest. And I mean, it has grown so much. I think, how long has it been? 3 years? 2 years for me. But it's just amazing how advanced it has become in just a matter of just a couple of years.
Yeah, I think that Scott is celebrating 10 years of Black Talk Media Network.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, Scott, if we are incorrect, you can jump in and correct us. And if it is 10 years, I believe I just heard him say 10 years. So congratulations.
Yes.
Certainly congratulations on that, because that is an endeavor. Hold on. I have applause. Wait a second.
All right.
Yes. Congratulations to you, Scotty. All right, so let me open up with our poem, poetry. Pardon. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode? Thanks for hearing.
I love it. I love it. So many dreams have been deferred. So many.
No, if your dream has been deferred, if you feel like for whatever reason that you can no longer pursue that dream, pick another one. Pick another one similar or more. Pick a dream that is similar to the dream that you initially had, or find one that's completely different and pursue that. It doesn't matter. Just never stop dreaming and never stop pursuing your happiness and your goals. All right, so another quote. If you have no confidence in self, you are twice defeated in the race of life. The Honorable Martha
Garvey.
You know, his death date. The day that he transitioned, rather, was on yesterday, June 10th, 1940.
Exactly.
You have something for us, Satellite?
I have my quote, my "Who are you?" quote. Who are you? Who are you? Why do we study everything except who is looking back at us in the mirror, which is ourselves? We study everything. We study.
Yeah.
Some of us study the Bible all our lives, one book. But have you studied the book of yourself? Who's looking back at you? It does not matter how others see you. It matters how you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus Garvey once said, "Know thyself. Know thyself." We are capable of manifesting health and prosperity in our lives if we understand who we are and what we are capable of. What our minds and bodies can do in battle, which we are in the midst of, we just said that, you must study and know your enemy. But most importantly, you must know yourself. You must know who you are. Once you know who you are, you'll know what you are capable of. You are who you believe you are. How you see yourself is how you project yourself. And how you project yourself is how the world responds. It's just a circle. It's just a circle. I remember, I think I've shared this before, but I had a job in the hotel business. I was a manager, and I left that position. And for some months, I wasn't working. So I lived right around the corner from FedEx Corporation, and I was jogging, and I looked at that little post-it board, and I just said, oh, okay, I'll apply here. It was very difficult getting on in management in FedEx. You had to start at the bottom unless you had a lot of degrees and had some contacts. So anyway, I started at the bottom. It was numbers, so you could be a manager at like 23, 27, or what have you. My first position was a level two, and I had just come from being a manager. So I had to, swallow my pride and take that position, delivering mail and doing people's payroll. But I tell you, I walked around that office as if I was still a manager. I didn't have my nose stuck up in the air, not that kind of way. But I knew who I was. I didn't slump my shoulders. I just got this little job in your mail. I still knew that in time, I would be right back where I was. And that's exactly what happened. So it's how, and by my, I said all that to say, within a couple of months, maybe 3 or 4 months, my manager came to me and offered me to get into their management trainee program because of the way I carried myself. So it's It's how you think of yourself, how you project yourself, and that's how the people will see you. So, who are you? That is my quote. And also, dreaming and surviving are two different things. Sometimes we forget to give ourselves permission to dream big. Like you were just saying, we're too busy surviving. So if you can't visualize it, how can it happen? Sometimes we are so busy pleasing others or helping others to reach their dream, working on somebody else's job, we forget that we had a dream of our own. So don't forget, you have a dream, and visualize that dream. It can't happen if you don't visualize it. So that is my, how can something big and wonderful enter when the door is closed or locked even for some people? So those are my two quotes to start off. And before you get into the hot topics, I just wanted to remind everybody about our 21-day sacral healing challenge. So what are you doing daily to heal your sacral chakra, to bring it back into balance? We've already talked about the root chakra, which is the first one. Now we're on the second chakra. And just a brief description for those who are not familiar, the chakras are energy centers which are located throughout our bodies, and everything is energy. Everything, the chair you're sitting in, the phone you're holding, everything. Energy runs through our bodies on channels or meridians. They call them meridians. They're just channels, not like one big blob. It's channels.
Hey, like Featherlight? Yes. Hey, Featherlight?
Yes.
Oh, I'm just testing my other headphones so you can hear me?
Oh, very clearly. Very clearly. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Am I coming through pretty clear?
Yes. Yes.
Great. Okay. All right. So as these meridians or channels are running through our bodies with energy, at certain points they cluster. And so the clusters are what we call chakras. And they're constantly turning, just like vortex wheels. And in Sanskrit, wheels means chakras. So our chakras affect how we think, how we love, and how we feel. And how we feel, how we love, and how we think affects our chakras. And so it's very important that we become aware of what the chakras can do. And I have posted on our Twitter and on the Mind, Body, Spirit page different ways that we can heal our sacral chakra and how it affects our lives.
Okay.
You're on. Oh, okay. Give us some hot topics.
All right. So, some hot topics for tonight. I will post my sacral chakra activities. I have been swimming, been having that going on. And you know what? I was joking with Featherlight earlier because I said, look, in reference or in response to all these people calling the police on black folks at the pool, you know, there was another incident in Indianapolis. This man, black man, swimming where he lives, and someone called the cops on him. But anyway, the pool is right behind where I live, and so I was like, I see white people. I see white people in the pool. And they're swimming.
White people, they're swimming. Where is that bone?
Let me call the police because they are swimming. The polices. Let me call the polices because they're swimming. And see, look. The white folks is calling the cops on somebody. Look, I see white people swimming right now. I'm not calling the cops on them. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're just swimming. I'm looking at them right now. They're swimming. Jeez. Okay, anyway. So I don't know if people have been following the Haitian protests. I just want to mention quickly. Great. Thanks, Scotty. I want to mention quickly, if you've been following the news with the Haitian protests. And so the news, they're protesting because of the gas hikes and corruption. But you did not specify what type of corruption. So my sources have informed me that the Haitian people are protesting not just because of the gas prices, but because of the Clinton, the crooked Clinton's corruption in Haiti. Forgive me, people. Have the Clinton corruption. That's what the people are protesting. The Clintons pay to play that they've had going on with their foundation there in Haiti, how the Clintons said that they were going to build all of these different facilities that would assist the Haitian people, and that has not happened. And essentially, the Haitian people want the Clintons out of there. They want the Clintons out of there building all of those 4 and 5 star hotels that are not benefiting the people. They did not build the homes that they said that they were going to build, raised millions and millions of dollars, and have not really helped the Haitian people, okay? So that's what those protests, that's what's really behind the protests. It's not simply the gas, the fuel prices. So don't believe that. We have to have our own media so that we can tell the story. Haitians are protesting some of those sweatshops that have been built by the Clintons. There was $45 million spent, but they never really built the facilities that they initially outlined or delineated that they would build. Okay. All right. So power to the Haitian people.
Yes.
Just reach back, baby. Just reach back and do what they did. From set, what was it, seven from the 1700s to 1804, okay? Then I want to mention this story in Austin, Texas. I keep telling people how racist liberal Austin is, okay? Just how racist liberal Austin is. Yeah, I said it. So 19-year-old Devontae Ortiz, he was shot and killed on July 4th by his neighbor, this old-ass man, 41 years of age, named Jason Roach. Jason Roach was upset because Devontae Ortiz and some of the other youngsters in the community were shooting off fireworks like people would do on the 4th of July, or 4th of July. And so he chases the poor little boy around the car and all of this stuff. And Jason Roach's father comes out, and there was a claim that Ortiz pushed Jason Roach's father down, and that's when he continued to brandish his gun and all of this stuff, chased the poor little boy around the car and shot him dead. Then turned around, tried to lie and say that he just afraid of this little young honor roll football star teenager, right? So, you know, hey, I had to just go hit on and shoot and kill him. So anyway, the poor little boy was shot and killed, and it's just off, just terrible, terrible, terrible. This was an honor roll student, as I mentioned, football star. When I read this story, it hurt my heart because it was reminiscent of the little boy. What's his name? Oh, my goodness. Down in, I want to say that was Navasota, Georgia, where they found him rolled up in the carpet. He was a young black star. I can't call his name right now. It'll come to me. But it was reminiscent of that because he was another football star. And I really believe a lot of these old-ass white men, they're very envious of some of these young boys that are, they display athleticism. And it's just, it's more to it than just that. We already know, but I'm just saying in some of these cases, a lot of these old-ass white men are just really hateful. And they've been really hateful towards some young children that you never should have been having a confrontation with in the first place.
If you had
a problem with this little boy, you should have gone and knocked on his parents' door. You don't pull out a gun on this boy. That's a boy. That's a teenager.
Kendrick Johnson.
Thank you. Kendrick Johnson. That's it. Kendrick Johnson. So, and you know, I thought it was kind of peculiar that this man was actually arrested and charged with second degree murder, even though he was given a low bail of, I think, like $100,000, something like that. But this Roach man apparently sued the city of Austin when he was in an accident, car crash with an Austin cop. So I guess, you know, they're like, hey, we'll go ahead on. Yeah, we'll go ahead on and sit your little old ass down somewhere. So, I'll talk about some of these other stories later. I did want to mention this story about the jail population skyrocketing in rural areas, and it is opioid related. Opioids have caused such an increase in crime in some of these rural areas. These people are committing all types of murders, robberies, armed robberies, break-ins. I mean, just terrorizing the community. I'll just speak briefly about, y'all know how I love, okay, for our opioid factor. Scotty didn't give us our Hot Topics music. Scotty, what happened to my music? So, for our opioid factor tonight, before we bring in our guest, I was watching one of my opioid videos. Guys, you know how I love to watch these videos. Got these people on the opioids. I just get a high. I get the same high, I believe. Lord have mercy, I can't go to bed some night. I'm like, woo, let me see what these fools doing. So I was watching this one video, and oh my God, this woman, she claims she started taking opioids because she hurt her ankle. Like, you couldn't just take some ibuprofen. But, she claimed she hurt her ankle and she started taking these opioids and she couldn't get the opioids anymore. So she started doing the heroin and all of this business. And now she's just an addict and she has to take it. Okay, my point I want to make is, in watching this video, there's a warrant out for her arrest. And do you know, Featherlight, that the officers, the cops found her, tracked her down, and they said, oh, she's just in no shape to go to jail.
What?
She's just in no shape. You
no
know,
shape?
We just can't take her to jail. She's just in no shape for jail. So, again, as we have stated, the disparity. Now, Ray Ray can have a $5 bag of marijuana, mm-hmm. and he goes to jail.
Straight.
But the white folks, they stealing water on this same video. I think it was called Heroin in the Heartland, something like that. But these white folks they're stealing water. On this video, they were showing how the neighbors were complaining because of the opioid addicts. They're taking over like certain areas in the wooded area because a lot of them are homeless, and some of them that are living in homes, they're living in homes that do not have, that lack running water, lack electricity. So they're stealing electricity from their neighbors and they're stealing water. And one of the neighbors said, I'm tired of them stealing water. So she contacted city council. And so city council had to start a policy where they would put these locks on the water spigots because the heroin addicts kept stealing the damn water. Now, isn't that ridiculous? Mm-hmm.
Stealing water. That's theft.
You stealing water. You stealing water. You stealing electricity. They're throwing their needles down on the ground, right? And so the chemicals are not only seeping into the grounds, but the chemicals also seep into the water system. So people are complaining about that. So now, see, your drug addiction is affecting everybody else. And this is why I keep saying, no, I don't want my tax dollars to go to your Narcan. Not when you OD in 3 and 4 times a day. What did I say? You get 2 times to OD and that's it. And they come and revive your little ass the second time, the third time we get a call from your house, you just die. But did you die? Okay, you just die. Now, Featherlight, oh my God, I'm super, super excited because we are going to, okay, Scotty, I did not give the cue for, okay. All right, my bad. Well, thank you anyway, Scotty. Tonight, we are welcoming in Rain of Taurine Rain Reloaded. I'm so excited to welcome him in. My God.
He gets the time.
Yes, look. Look, let's get you some applause. You get it. All right. Yes, sir. We can hear you. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing? I was just sitting here listening to y'all, you know, talk the whole time. I'm over here cracking up because you were speaking on one of my favorite topics.
What's your favorite topic?
The opioids.
All right.
You know it, honey. You know we have to put it out there. And, you know, I've been following you for quite a while. And okay. I remember watching one of your videos, and you were speaking about the opioid benzodiazepines, and you were like, yeah, they call them benzos. And I was like, oh my God, he's just so cute. I just fell in love with you that night. I was like, oh my God, he is just awesome, awesome, awesome. This is Taurine Rang. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly because we have an extra.
You know what's so funny? It's like it's almost like my name could be interchangeable. I have people call me Taurine, Taurion, but the name is actually pronounced Taurine Rang.
Taurine Rang.
I like that.
You know what? It's actually the way it is spelled. That's right, Taurine Rang. So while we are clearing up the pronunciation and enunciation of your name, how about telling people how they can follow you, where they can find your videos, and then let's talk a little bit more about you.
Okay, well, I hope the people got a pad ready because I'm in quite a few places. You know, I got to bring myself out there. Okay, but for my email, as far as how people can contact me directly, as far as if they wanted me to talk about a certain topic, my email is TaurineRangTopics@yahoo.com. My Patreon is www.patreon.com/Taurine Rang. My PayPal is www.paypal.me, which spells me, /Taurine Rang. My blackjunction.tv is blackjunction.tv /@Taurine Rang. I also have a SoundCloud that's soundcloud.com/. Now, this one has my actual real name on it attached to it because I couldn't use the Taurine Rang name for it. That one is Demetrius-Connor-4918. 841008. I also have a live stream channel, which is Rain in Real Time. You can go into
Taurine, you keep going out a little bit, and I want to make sure that everyone can hear you so that people can connect with you, because I did not know that you were on Black Junction, and I do want you to share a little bit with us about your Black Junction channel also. So now, let me see. I did not hear the last part. Your last location you were sharing with us.
You talking about the live stream channel one?
Yes.
Okay, my live stream channel is called Rain in Real Time. That's four different words. It's not all one word. Rain. Okay.
Now spell
real
that.
REIGNIN real spelled REAL. Time, TIME.
Okay. And while you're spelling, I'm a English speller type person. So, Taurine. Some people may not know how to spell that. So spell that for them, and then spell Rain for them one more time.
Okay. Taurine is spelled TAUREAN, and Rain is spelled REIGN.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
All right, perfect.
You are all over the place.
I actually, you know what's so crazy? I actually had to make a video on my channel explaining why I had so many social media accounts. And the thing is, that's not even all of them. That's just the ones that I spread my information. Of course, you know about my Twitter account. And then I'm also on Facebook and Instagram as well. But the ones that I gave you is the one that I usually do my commentaries and stuff on, or the one where people can contact me directly, such as the email. But I actually made a video about why I had so many accounts, because I feel if you put all your eggs in one basket for one account, if you lose that one account, then how are people going to find you?
That's true.
Exactly. Because I did lose you at one time. Right. I did lose you at one time because I think your YouTube channel was shut down and you had to start like another one. I think you had to do that a few times, start up your channel. So
because I had my main channel, which was just Torian Rain, that I had since I was in college. And and that account was almost at 16,000 subscribers back in October. And I had did a video about that Las Vegas shooter. And I guess people over at YouTube got offended by the title that I put in, in the title, how I titled the video. And I ended up getting that video, like, flagged literally 15 minutes after I got, after it got put up. And that was the second strike on that channel. I went to sleep and woke up the next day, and they pulled up, I guess, a video from months ago and flagged that one. You know, on YouTube, that's three strikes, and in three strikes, they terminate your channel.
Wow. What was the title?
So I guess you could say I have a love hate, probably almost more hate relationship with YouTube.
Well, how did you start producing this media content and sharing these stories? Because let me just say this, what I really love about your content and the way that you deliver your content is you give it to us in what we call in the organizing world. You use the three C's. You're clear, you're concise, and you are concrete. You just give it to us, and then you add your comedic flair to it. I love that. And so
I guess that means that four C's then.
yeah, the four C's. Exactly. And you just give it to us straight up. I think one time I was listening to one of your videos, and you were in the elevator, and you were like, okay, pause. Somebody came in on the elevator. I was
wow, that's kind of crazy you said that. I can't remember what video that you're talking about, but it has been a couple of times when I just called on my phone and I was in the elevator.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, I had to pause. Somebody just stepped in. But how did you get started with this, and what compelled you or inspired you to start posting these videos like that?
Well, I actually started my YouTube channel, like I said before, back in, I think, 2010, and I was in my junior year of college, I believe, and I was getting ready to head into my senior year of college. And at that time, all I was posting up was college-related stuff because I went to a HBCU. Shout-out to Benedict College, by the way. And And I was just posting up, like, things like that. What I was posting up back then had nothing to do with what I talk about today. Like, back then when I was a college student, you're thinking about back when I was 18 as a freshman and 22 when I graduated, my mind wasn't on what I'm talking about today. Like, I wasn't as socially aware about the things going on now. And then back then at that time period, it wasn't really in your face like that, like it is today. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really touch on it. And then when I graduated from college, I really didn't mess with it because I didn't have anything to put out there. I already graduated from college. I was like, I don't think I have a growing audience. So I literally had an account that only had like 340-something subscribers on it, and it just sat there for years. Then about maybe a couple years later, I decided to pick it up again and do other things, and it was still not related to what I talk about now. I think what made me get back into it was when I decided to do an ancestry DNA test. And I put that out as a video, and then other things started to come about. Then I started seeing other YouTubers started to talk about topics. I said, you know what, maybe I can, you know, go at this at a more consistent rate and see what could, you know, come from this. And then I think what ended up happening, and this goes back to one of my favorite topics with them opioids, was in January of 2016 when a news report had came out and said that white people are now the face of the drug problem in America. And I was like, oh, light bulb moment. My eyeballs raised up. I said, I think I found something to speak on. And that's when the whole thing has started. My channel was pretty much at that point was almost geared almost exclusively to that because there was a new report coming out every single day about that. And then I even created a blog where I was doing like positivity, like news stories with black people that I knew mainstream media would never touch. And that was more of me just writing. That had nothing to do with me doing a video recording. So that actually helped me with writing skills. Like, I'm literally sitting there typing up whole blogs, and I think what helped out with that was when I had to do my, I guess you can say, senior exit paper in order to graduate from college. And it was geared towards that. But then on the YouTube side of things, I was like, wow. And I didn't think I was going to have a growing audience. And then people started gravitating towards me. And then that's why I said I had so many social media accounts, because I use, like, my Twitter account and my Instagram and my Facebook account mostly to really put out there the stuff that I really want to put out for people to see. And in turn, with my YouTube channel growing, it helped those platforms grow as well. And the reason why I created the email account is because I would have subscribers leave me links into the comment section. But I said, you know what, let me create a Yahoo account so they can send me emails, because for two reasons. One, if they leave those links in those comment sections and those comments pile up, they will get buried and I won't see. And I know on YouTube they have the private message box, but I rarely ever check that because that fills up with a bunch of spam. And one of the best things I think YouTube could have done over a lot of the stuff that they've been messing up on for the last few months is getting rid of the private message box, because it's pretty much worthless at this point. So I created a Yahoo account just for the emails, and those things fill up fast. Like, I get multiple emails a day. Like, if I was to delete all my inbox messages right now, by tomorrow, I would say afternoon, it would probably fill up with, like, maybe about 20 more inbox messages.
Wow, amazing.
From people who want me to speak on certain things. And what I always do is, when my subscribers send me things, I always make sure to shout them out, because I want to let the people know who the stories came from. And speaking of shouting people out, there's one particular person who I guess you could say is in my circle that I would like to shout out, and she creates YouTube videos as well. And her name is Lisa Cabrera. Now, she loves talking about opioid stuff, too.
Oh, you know,
yes,
indeed. I love Lisa. Thank you for mentioning her.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, like, Lisa, she was one of the ones that was there pretty much on my channel since day one. And I remember when Lisa would always send me a bunch of opioid stories. Like, she would send them left and right. Like, she would send me about five opioid stories a day. And I said, you know what, Lisa? I said, you know what? Have you ever thought about creating your own content? And she's like, no. I said, I think that you should. And because you send me a lot of stories that you're passionate about, I think you should create your own channel. So what she did was she created her own channel, and she started off low like everybody else does. And then I gave her a little boost. I shouted her out. And I said, because a lot of people always ask me, who is this Lisa Cabrera that you're always shouting out in your videos? Like, who is she? Who is she?
Right.
So, and I think that was another reason why I asked her to do it, because people were asking about her. Like, she started to create her own little fan base without people even knowing who she was. It was like one big mystery. And I told her to create her own channel. She did. She stopped sending me the emails, which I wanted her to do, because I said, you know what? You can use the emails that you sent me and create your own content. And what happened was, she went from a low channel, and now she is almost at 20,000 subscribers.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. She's really updated. I love her little intro. She has
she goes in, and she's all she has multiple channels, and she's also over on Black Junction as well.
Great. Okay. So before you some of your topics, if you don't mind, just share with us a couple of things that you've been discussing. Of course, I did tune in and watch some of your videos today, as always. So just share with the audience just some of the topics that you cover on some of your channels and your social media platforms.
Well, the obvious ones, the opioid ones, like I told you, those were like, you know, my specialty. I kind of scaled back on those a little bit, though, because I found that I think that's what YouTube was coming at me with, was for those particular videos, so I kind of scaled back on those. But I also talk about a little bit, I dive not completely into the pop culture side, but if I do, I usually come at it at a various, like, different angles. Like, the most recent one that I did, I guess you can say on the pop culture side, and you may have watched it because I uploaded it this morning, it was actually the first video that I did, was about Adam Housley and his wife, Tamera Mowry. Of course, you know from Sister. and how he made those comments saying how he believes all Americans should celebrate the 4th of July, pretty much black people included, even though, you know, a lot of black people don't really mess with that holiday. And, you know, with her being married to him and a lot of the things that, you know, he said and the things that she has said. And, you know, it's just like it's just weird. Like, to me, she knew what kind of relationship she was getting into. I mean, the guy works for Fox News. It doesn't get much worse than that.
Right.
Right. And you know what? In your video, you mentioned something that I wasn't aware of. I didn't know that she actually, like, put him on to becoming the person that he is, like having the being on the Fox News channel, as you say. And all that. I was unaware of that.
Exactly. Like, nobody knew who he was until she, like, put him out there. Because it's not like he had any type of notoriety or anything of that sort. So it's like, you know, she put him on probably at a low-level position, and then he worked his way up. And there's another YouTuber by the name of Harvey Superboy. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. And he has done a lot of videos talking about Tamara Mori and her husband, like a lot of them. Like, this is probably one of the first videos I've ever done talking about them. And I tried to dodge, you know, duck and dodge doing a video about those two. But when I heard about this, I said, I can't sit idly by and just let this one pass on by. So I'm going to talk about it. But he's basically talked about their relationship for a very long time. And there was even a time when he said that he got mad at her because she asked him, did he want mayonnaise on his sandwich?
Yeah.
Because you know that whole, you know, white people and mayonnaise stereotype.
Right. Yes. I remember that. Now, for people that may not know who we're speaking about, Tia Moore, what's her name, Tia? What is her name? The little twins.
Tamara,
right. From now, I like the one that was on, what was that, The Game. So
yeah.
That's who we're referencing, the two twins.
The one who has common sense, in my honest opinion.
Exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was reading the comments. I love reading people's comments in the video. Mm-hmm. And so I was reading some of the comments, and that's what a lot of people were saying, that they've always favored her anyway. And you know what? I really don't know much about this little one, because Tia, she's married to that other little young black guy.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name right now. But anyway.
His name is Corey Hardrick.
Okay, Corey Hardrick. Okay, thanks. Corey Hardrick? You know, from Power?
That's Omari Hardrick. That's Omari Hardrick. But now he's her husband is also an actor as well. He's not as a big actor or as she is, but he is he's an actor. So he's a good actor. I've seen him in a few things, like a lot of independent type films.
Right. Yeah, I've seen him in quite a few too. I can't recall any of those the names, the titles of them. But anyway, so I did see that video, and tell us about another one. What are your thoughts on some of these cop calls on all these people? I mean, just folks, we just out here breathing.
Listen, you know how I said how opioids are the specialty to, like, the way that my channel got propelled? It seemed like it might be taking a shift with these particular type of videos, because it seemed like I can't go a day without one or a few of my subscribers sending me a story about these calls. I'm trying to think of the most recent one. There's so many of them. Like, you had you had the one about the I'm trying to get it right. You had the one at the zoo where the boys were trying to sell items so they could raise money for their football equipment. Of course, we all know about Permit Patty and Barbecue Becky, the guy at the pool, and I don't know, there's multiple pool events because I think it was another one that happened as well. And it's so many, and it's hard to really keep up with all of their shenanigans. Like, it's become a trend. As a matter of fact, you heard about the one with the boy with the lawnmower, right?
Yes, right. Mr. Reggie. We actually highlighted him last week, Mr. Reggie's lawn service.
Well, did you hear about the most recent thing that happened involving him?
No, what?
The old couple that called the cops on him before called the cops on him again on the 4th. All because him and his family and friends was outside having fun you know, with the fireworks and whatnot.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't
believe
it to be true until I actually saw an actual article written up about it.
Oh, my goodness. That's just insanity.
And I think, you know what's so crazy? It's like, we are literally in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Here you have this 12-year-old boy who is an entrepreneur who is doing something productive with his family.
Cutting
lawns, you know, over the summer when he could be out having fun and doing whatever with his friends. But he's sitting there, he's trying to create, he's creating a business and making money. And, you know, these are the same people that say that we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. And even though our bootstraps have already been pulled and tied, they still have a problem with that. I said, it's nothing. It's not us doing whatever it is that we do. It's just the fact that we're Black.
Exactly.
That's the way that social media
has been shaming these people. Mm-hmm. And causing some of them to actually lose their job. And I think we need to do more of that. Take the names of these people, or the people who live in the neighborhood, take the names of these people, follow them, find out where they work, and post the hell out of everything that they can find out about them. Take the pictures and shame them.
Exactly.
Shame them so that they're the ones who are afraid to come out. Mm-hmm. No, don't let them, you know, continue to get away with all of this.
Right, and that's what's
this was on the BTR page I saw, take it a step further by reporting these racist heathens to, you know, about their children, to the social services, because this is psychological abuse for teaching their children antisocial and deviant behavior.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
because it was
emotional abuse is actually as powerful and sometimes more powerful than physical abuse to your children.
Mm-hmm. I always said mental, verbal, and emotional abuse always for me outweighs physical, because physical you can heal from that, but when you get into somebody's mind, that's forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at what happened. I mean, look at, like, 400 years of chattel slavery, and here we are 400 years later, and we're still in the same mindset from stuff that happened way before we even existed.
Right. The self-hate that many of us have, it's all a result.
Mm-hmm.
That's just mental.
Right. I agree with that, with the emotional and mental trauma. It, to me, and I've said this also, to me, that is more damaging than the physical abuse, because again, you can heal from a black eye. Black eye heal in a few days, a week, or whatever. But that emotional abuse, that psychological trauma, they can stay with you for years. And if you don't get therapy, and here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Show, we recommend therapy, especially for black folks, because when you're dealing with these crazy ass, insane, wicked, I'm like Baba Dick Gregory, wicked, insane people in this system, you need some help. You need to either, if you can't go to therapy, talk to somebody. Have a friend that you can talk to and share with. Now, Taryn, you did post a video earlier about what happened with the football player. If you could just talk about that before we go to break, that'd be great.
Okay, there was this football player by the name of Marquez White who plays for the Dallas Cowboys. And last year, he got into, I guess you could say, a verbal altercation with a racist driver. And like I said in my videos before, and you probably heard me say it, when white people experience road rage, mostly the ones who perpetuate the road rage, they turn into a whole nother demon. Because there was a story last year that I'm following closely with a case where you had the young girl by the name of Bianca Robeson from Philly who was getting ready to go to college. And this white guy who was older than her got into some kind of road rage incident with her, pulled out his gun and shot through her windshield and shot her in the head. And her car went into an embankment and she died. A few months before she was supposed to go to college, she just graduated from high school. And now I'm still following that case going forward because I know lamestream media is going to bury it. Because I think they're getting ready to go to trial. But back to this case. So this guy was so mad at him that he actually started following Marquez White and started, yelling racial slurs to him and everything. This man was so mad, I don't know at what. It could have been anything, probably just something so petty and low level, that he actually followed him all the way to his house. And Marquez White got out of his car, went into his house, and got his gun. Now, mind you, he's in Texas. So, he, you know, Texas, that's an open carry state. I always say Texas is like the NRA's favorite state. And he came out of his house with his gun. He didn't shoot him, but he made it, like, clear that he, you know, he would use it if he had to, you know, a self-defense. Mm-hmm. The white guy got on his phone and called the police and claimed that Marquez White was assaulting him and whatnot, you know, just sitting up there telling lies. And apparently the police believed him, and Marquez White got arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a weapon.
What?
Mind you, he can legally own that gun. He got in contact with his agent. His agent basically said he did everything correctly. And all of this happened last October, and now it's pretty much coming back to the surface because, you know, the season is getting ready to kick back up and get started. And I said, they literally are trying to ruin this man for something that he was supposed to do anyway. That's why you know that the laws were not written for us, because had it been reversed, we already know what would have happened.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And then, of course, and then the cherry on top is the NRA, the National Rifle Association, did exactly what I knew they would do, and that's them not utter one single word about this case. This is the same group of people that didn't say anything about Philando Castile, and he was able, and he was a legally gun owner, you know, able to carry, and when he got killed, and they didn't say anything then. So them not saying anything about this doesn't surprise me.
Absolutely, and it's just horrible because, in essence, he could say he feared for his life. This man is trailing him home. And let me tell you, we live here in Texas, and that's what these people do. You hear about those road rage incidents all of the time. There was a black girl that shot this white man a few years ago here because he tried that crap with her. They had an accident, and she pulled over, and he came banging on her door. Baby, sister girl pulled out her gun and said, pow, and shot him. They tried to charge her too. But yeah, that's really a problem here in Texas. So, and I'm not surprised. And then he's over there in all racist ass Dallas too. Please, I tell anybody anything outside of Houston, not that Houston doesn't have its problems. We're down here in Galveston on Galveston Island. I just relocated from Houston, but anywhere outside of Houston, racist. Racist.
And it's funny that you mentioned, like, Texas. It's funny you mentioned Texas. What, and it's crazy because the anniversary just passed. What is your thoughts on what happened back in 2016 with Michael Johnson?
Michael, refresh my memory. I'm trying to think. Michael Johnson.
He was the black guy in Texas that killed, I think he killed those five police officers. And they use that drone bomb.
In Dallas. Right. Okay. You know what, Tyrion? It was something really weird with that.
It was,
I can't quite put my finger on that because this was, I think it was reported like the first time, like some robotic, mechanical robot or something was used to actually blow a person up. And then another thing, I don't understand how is it when you think about what's like the young man, what was his name? I want to say his name was Connor, the one, the other police officer that wrote the manifesto and he was talking about all the racism.
Donna,
right. Thank you. How is it that you tend to blow these people up but the driver's license doesn't blow? I don't understand that. So you're able to the driver's license is still intact. I don't get that. But I think it was something strange about that. I don't quite know, to be honest with you, Turan, but I feel like it was something more to that story than what we were told. And I remember because I think the protest or something went on for like a few days. And we were watching it closely.
But wasn't something else happening at the same time in New York? Wasn't there some other, it was something else going on at the same time with with the cops. They were killing people. They had just killed somebody or something.
Oh, yeah. That was Eric Garner.
Right. That's right. What I was thinking. Right. And see, I believe that at certain times, and this may not be all the time, but I kind of pay attention to when these things happen. Mm-hmm. When there's something that's like blatantly clear that this was really unjustified, like an unjustified murder. Okay, and all the attention is on it, like, oh, this is terrible. You know, this cop had no reason. Something else happens way over here to distract us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of those things. And I'm like you, Black Rose. There was something kind of fishy about that. It's some kind of fabrication going on with that. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people. I don't believe everything that the mainstream media says. I don't say, oh, that was just awful what that black man did.
You know what's also so crazy, too? Because a couple of days before the incident that happened in Dallas, Austin Sterling was killed in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like all that stuff happens around each other. And then a couple of days later, like on the... I think the 17th, Gavin Long did what he did in Louisiana.
Yes. Well, look, we have to take a hard break and we'll come right back. And we just want you to share again how people can contact you. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Don't you go anywhere, Tyreen. We'll be right back. And we have Carlinia Springer with Sacred Spaces coming up. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. We'll be right back.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right, and we are back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show with social media influencer and social critic, Tyreen Rain. And you know what? We have to have you come back. I hope that you can come back and share with us some more. We really appreciate you sharing your topics. Could you just share with us before you leave how people can follow you? I know you have a ton of them. You don't have to go through all of them, but just a few ways that people can follow you.
Okay. Well, clearly the obvious one is my YouTube channel, which is Tyreen Rain Reloaded. You can just type that right into the search bar of YouTube, and it'll come as soon as you type in Tyreen. The name is going to probably pop up in the search bar. Also, like I said, my Patreon account is patreon.com/Tyreen Rain. The PayPal is paypal.me/Tyreen Rain. My email is TyreenRainTopics@yahoo.com. I'm just going to probably leave it at that as far as, like, okay, you know, information, you know, right there.
Great, great. And your name is spelled Tyreean, right?
Right.
Reign.
I said to myself I was going to do this before I left off here. Can I give one more shout out?
Oh, sure. Of course.
Okay. The last shout out, and I hope that they're watching because I put the alert in the discussion. I have to give a shout out to the Angry Man Nation. Like, I'm glad to actually be a part of this amazing group of people who are definitely raw, uncut. It definitely keep it real. Those are the type of people that I love to always have to be around and associate myself with. People that don't have a filter, but keep it real all the time.
The Angry Man.
Say the name again.
The name. I said shout out to the Angry Man Nation.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the Angry. Write that down. Now, can I follow the Angry Man Nation?
Well, he has a YouTube channel. The name of the channel is called the Angry Man Channel 2, the number 2.
The Angry Man Channel 2. Let me see. Okay, I'm trying to pull that up. The Angry Man Channel 2. All right.
Yeah.
Angry Man Channel. Okay, the Angry Man Channel. Okay. Got it. All right. The Angry Man Channel. All right. Mm-hmm. Follow him. Angry Man Channel. All right. And then shout out to Lisa Cabrera. Thank you so much, Lisa, for keeping it real and putting that information out there. The sister had a live stream today. I wasn't able to tune in to it, Lisa, because I was preparing for the show, but I will catch up. And Lisa, I hope maybe we can have you and Lisa come on together. Now, that would be absolutely great.
Oh, most definitely. Listen, me and Lisa used to always go in on them live stream collabs together a month ago before what happened to my main channel. And people love when we collab.
Okay, well, listen, I'm going to be in touch with you and let's see, can we make that happen here?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. And I want you to come back.
Subscribe to the Angry Man channel too also.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that y'all were able to have me on. I really enjoyed myself, and I'm glad that we was able to have this discussion, and we definitely will have to do this again.
Okay, perfect. I'm so glad of that. Oh, yay! Thank you so much. Look, let me give you some applause, my brother, and you can just keep it up. You keep up the work. Ooh.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. You keep up that profound work, my brother. And I just want to say to you, too, I'm just so elated and so proud of you for being a voice out here. This is a young brother. You know, people talk about, oh, black men, they're not working, they're not doing anything. The brother said he was in college. The brother has this YouTube channel. He is giving us the information and the news. So don't say that our black men aren't doing anything. I love my black brothers. I love you, brother, and just keep up the work, and I wish you all the best. And trust me, we will, as the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, donate to your Patreon.
Yes,
all right, thank you so much.
Namaste.
We ask everyone else to do the same.
You too.
Okay, peace. All right, and that was Taurine Rain Reloaded. Woo! All right. Yes, thank you. Okay, and so tonight we also have Carlinia Springer from Sacred Spaces, and we want to appreciate you, and we're happy to have you back.
Hi, namaste, Carlinia.
Namaste, how are you all doing?
We're great. Good to have you back. Yeah. We need thank all the you. Healing we can
I was
get.
Enjoying that conversation.
Oh, good. Yes, indeed. And you know what? I'm so glad that you were able to come back because, you know what? Well, we need some sacred spaces right about now because I know some people are just feeling traumatized and it's just becoming a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Cops can be called on you for little things like just walking, breathing, swimming. You have your socks on in the pool. And so, like me, thankfully, I have a therapist. And you know what? Let me tell you, Carlinia, I emailed my therapist today because she's been out of the country on vacation. And I emailed her and I said, are you back yet? I need an appointment. And thank goodness, you know, she said that she was on her way back today. So I was like, God, damn, I mean, you need to bring your butt back. I was about to tell her, look, girl, one of these 1-800 numbers or something, I need somebody to talk to. So I am so glad that you're here. And for people that may not have heard you previously on our show, could you just share with them who you are and what is Sacred Spaces all about?
Okay, sure. So my name is Carlinia Springer, and I'm the creator of the Sacred Spaces movement. And this was born out of my own personal experience of isolation, pain, and just wanting to heal and have peace of mind. And I've been on a really long spiritual journey. I'm a life coach, spiritual teacher. But I have to tell you, I did not know that our culture had anything to do with our spirituality. That I just thought that being spiritual was it. And when everything in my life shut down and I found myself in a place where I wasn't working, well, I released my job because I was sick and I was stressed trying to do everything to pay the bills, and it just was not working. And I was off of work for like 3.5 months. And I said, you know what? I need to turn in the direction of my assignment because I know I'm here for something greater. I'm here to serve people in a greater way. But things began to collapse in my life, and I found myself in a place where I had to go on the welfare and social services. And I had never experienced such a low point in my life. But when I remember, I live on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and I remember going to the welfare place, and the line looked like a refugee line in a third world, or what they call a third world country. And I saw something that just left me outraged. I saw helplessness in our people. I saw hopelessness. And I saw so much pain. And what I saw in them, I knew I felt in myself. I didn't look like that. But they looked like they had no hope. I still had hope. But I felt the way they felt. And something in me said, you have to, there's something that must be done about this. The way we treated each other was really, in that space, was really disturbing. People were angry. They were sad. They were just projecting all kinds of anger at each other. It was just always a very explosive situation. And, you know, you're just trying to feed yourself, feed your family, keep the lights on, and there's such a struggle. And everything in my life came to a complete standstill. And it was in that space, that sacred spaces, spontaneously, I found myself in a place of sacred spaces because I said to God, I was like, I'm not moving until you move me because I don't understand this. I've done everything I think I should do, and I don't know why everything in my life is falling apart. Mm. And in that space, I was reconnected with our ancestors and our ancestresses. And I said I didn't know that the situation that we're facing had anything, you know, I know about racism and all that, but I didn't know it had anything to do with my spirituality. I was just spiritual. So sacred spaces was birthed out of that. And it's a place where we can release our anger and our rage. And I like what Torian, if I'm saying his name correctly, what he said. Like, you know, I like people that give it really raw and just tell the truth, right? Because in this society, we have been born behind enemy lines. These people recognize us as their enemy. We have not recognized them as our enemy.
Exactly.
And so we have stepped back. And they shoot us, they beat us, they kill our children, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, and there's no response. And that's not natural. It's not natural. Mm-hmm. And but because of the conditioning, because of the fear, because they have stripped us of our language and our identity, we really don't have, we don't know who we are. And in that space, we can't fight and fight effectively. So what I know is that this is not a system that we will be able to fight on the outside, but we can take it down from the inside out. And by that, I mean we're receiving messages all day long in real time. They use technology to do what we do naturally, right? So I know there are those of you who dream things, who know things, who see things before they happen. And that's natural for our people. But we haven't been taught to really pay attention to that. Because you may be going, you may be the Philando Castile, right? And maybe you're going somewhere and something tells you, you know what, let me just stay home instead of taking this trip. And you have no idea what you avoided. You understand? But our people, we need to get back to being able to hear and see and act on what we hear and see. They can't continue to wipe us out like this with, I'm outraged at this. I don't even watch the news. I have my phone and I'll turn it, you know, I turn it on and these things pop up. I'm absolutely outraged at the indignity that our people suffer. My friend just showed me right before I got on this, actually while Torina was talking on Facebook, somebody had posted something about the Black Code of 1865. And there was a document. Mm. It was the state of Missouri. It said nigger hunting license. Missouri, in 1922, gives you the legal right to hunt and kill African Americans. And this is giving the holder, provided to the holder, the legal right. And so we're operating under a system of complete and total disorder, masquerading as law and order. Yeah. And we're trying to comply, right? We're trying to comply. And we're complicit because we're in trying to comply and trying to follow this quote-unquote law, which these people already know they have murderers masquerading as police, right?
Yes.
They kill you, right? Yes. And nobody is fighting back. I'm absolutely outraged. I'm like, if you feel like they're going to take you out, then go down fighting. Don't sit there and just let them take your life. Don't sit there and fear, because what they're going to do anyway.
Anyway.
Right? They're going to do it anyway. But we need to know who we are with sacred spaces. I do a weekly call, and if anybody, you know, wants to tune into that, I'll give you the number to text me. Just text sacred spaces. I'll send you the information. But in this space, we get some history on who we are beyond this, our experience here, beyond our experience here in this country. We get that history. But we also learn how to create a physical space in our home where we can go and we can connect and we can be in the silence. Meditation is not just for peace of mind. That's not the purpose. Now, they told us that here. But as a people, we have been disconnected throughout the religions, throughout our spirituality, from our ancestors, our spiritually cultivated ancestors and ancestresses who speak to us in real time, who will guide us and who will tell us, go here, do this, speak to this person. Don't go there. You know, I can remember seeing, I don't know if it's a meme or a picture on Facebook, and it shows a young woman, young black woman with her face muzzled. And the caption said, our queens, when they first brought them over here, would utter a sound that would cause the enslavers to drop dead. And so they began to muzzle them. So there's ways that we can protect. Yes, that's powerful.
I've never heard that before.
These people with guns. We don't have to. That's what they have. That's what they use. That's the technology they use to wipe us out. Mm-hmm. But we have no knowledge of ourselves, and there's knowledge that we have lost that can be reclaimed through that communication with our ancestors. That is a sacred space, because in that place, in the communities where we came from thousands of years ago, that was central to how we lived our life. Spirit wasn't something you do in between work. Everything happened around spirit. And so we have many movements and many people who are doing their work, but the one thing that's missing is that connection, because that's our GPS.
Yes.
That is our GPS. That tells us we don't have to worry and try to figure out who can we trust. And who should we not trust, right?
Yes, yes. We have someone that has a question for you. You were mentioning in 1865, and there's a question. Yeah, the Black Codes. And you know what? And I'm actually starting to reread like some of the Black Codes. We actually had a discussion a few weeks ago, like Black Codes and Jim Crow laws. But we have a question from someone that says, ask, and let's see, ratified in 1865 and what it actually means.
You're asking me, what does it actually mean?
The question is, have you ever read the 13th Amendment?
No, you know what? I think I've read it. I've come across it once or twice, but I'm not familiar with it to the point where I could just, you know, rattle that off. But is that the one that gave us the right?
Let me see.
citizens or something like that? Or to vote?
Let me see, Scotty, you want to elaborate a little bit?
That's about ending slavery, isn't it?
Yes, the 14th Amendment is the one about birthright citizenship. If you're born here, the 13th Amendment, and I'll just quote it, says that involuntary servitude and slavery shall be abolished except as a punishment for crime. That was ratified by all the states in 1865, and a lot of people mistakenly believe that it ends slavery, so they think we in post-slavery, you know, after slavery, they say. And how can you abolish something but make exceptions for it? So what you call, what people are calling mass incarceration is legally, by the 13th Amendment's definition, a continuation of slavery. So when you mention the Black Codes, that's why I asked if you had read the 13th Amendment, because it's been hiding in plain sight.
Right. Okay. Yes. No, I didn't even know about that. And that thing that I just said about the Black coat, I literally just saw a picture of that on Facebook right before I got on the call. I didn't know there was anything as a nigger hunting license. And if this is a state of Missouri, it just begs the question, how many other states had this, had right. something like this?
Right.
Because that has continued. You see how the police operate, right? It's,
mm-hmm.
it's probably in plain sight, and we just, some of us maybe know it, and it's just not knowledge that the masses are aware of.
One thing that's relatively new regarding the police is that they have just been put into a protective class. And it's been approved by the Supreme Court and also by most of the members of the Black Caucus, that if any harm comes to them by an individual, they will be prosecuted to the highest extent, because this would be considered as a hate crime. Yet the policemen are going around just killing unarmed citizens, brutalizing them, and not receiving even a slap on the wrist. But now they have been placed into a protective class. So mm-hmm. it just shows you that this is a whole system. This is not a group of people. This is a whole system. It's very clear what is being done to Blacks in this country. And it's being given the stamp of approval by higher ups,
and they, you know, okay. You see them closing rank, right? When they are putting the little babies and the children in the jails, they're closing yeah. they're closing rank. They're stepping up the pace at which they're doing what they're doing, mm-hmm. right? And we must have a response. If we don't have a response, we will not be here.
Mm. But go ahead. I'll ask my question after you.
Okay. So I was saying it has to start with our with what I said, that communication. We have to reestablish communication so that we know individually, we know our identity. Because again, looking at this from an outside in point of view, they rule, they have the guns, they have the power, they put the police in the protected class. If you attack a police, you're prosecuted to the highest extent of the law, or they just kill you, right? So that's not effective to fight it on that level. And the Black Caucus, these guys are politicians. They're not, they don't represent our people. They represent their own personal interests, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Clear, right? Mm-hmm. They have been compromised, and that anybody that they put in positions of what looks like power has to compromise with them, because they won't tolerate them. If they can't control you, they're not going to tolerate you. So that's why I like when Torian said, you know, I like when people speak the truth, right? And just give it to you raw, because in this type of situation where you have lawlessness ruling,
it's going to take people who have the strength to tell the truth, to awaken yes. those who are asleep, to whatever extent. And then when we begin to reconnect, each of us has something that we are supposed to bring. And when right. we begin to reconnect and download that information, this is how we dismantle the system from the inside out. Because we're not going to figure it out with our brains. We're not going to figure it out with our logic. They're hundreds of years ahead of us. Our people mostly are struggling to survive. I just saw a video. I cannot remember who did this video, but it's a scholar, a mathematician. And he did a study in Boston. And it looked at our people across all socioeconomic, that full range. So it didn't matter what level of education you had, right? And he was looking at the median income between Black people and white people in Boston, just the city of Boston. The median income for white people in Boston was $200,000, okay? The median income for Black people, median, yes, Black people. So it didn't matter if you made $100,000. If you have $200,000 in debt, right, what is your net income? That's what they're looking at. The median income for Black people in Boston was $8.
$8?
That's like $8 compared to $200,000. That's, you can't even begin to compete. And it didn't matter if you had a PhD, that you had a master's. What his point was that we're sending our children to college. We're pushing this education system, and it's not translating into dollars. And we need dollars to be able to live, to take care of ourselves. If we're in survival, we can't even begin to think, right, how can we effectively address what is happening to our people. We're trying to put food on the table and keep the lights on. You can't think outside of that. But
wait a minute. I'm still stuck on the 200,000.
Now, Boston, right? Boston is a very, very wealthy people live in Boston. But the disparity is just $8. That just blew my mind.
You know, that right there, that should require some investigation. And it proves to me systematic discrimination and disenfranchisement when you have that type of disparity in income.
Wow. And that's what I think Dr. Frances Cress Welsing speaks to in the IFRS papers. Mm-hmm. But she said this system of racism/white supremacy, and gives a very clear definition, operates in every single area of our lives. Mm-hmm. Every single area. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand that definition, mm-hmm. you're just dealing with the effects. You're dealing with the effects of what the system has done. You're not getting to the core of it. And mm-hmm. because you don't get to the core of it, you can't fix it.
You can't fix it. Hey, Carlinia, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back. We do want to hold you over because we know we want to hear some more from you on Sacred Spaces. So we're up against the break. Let's just take a quick break and we will be right back. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show with Carlinia Springer of Sacred Spaces. And we'll be right back.
Program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. And for our African Spirit segment, we are actually going to cut this a little short tonight because we want to have this conversation with Kalenia Springer on sacred spaces. Lord knows we need a sacred space. But Ida B. Wells Barnett, again, one of my favorites. We all know about Ida B. Wells. Well, I hope we know about Ida B. Wells Barnett. Investigative journalist and crusader, anti-lynching crusader. I was going to read a little bit from her Red record, but we'll pick that up on our next airing. But I do want to just say that her birthday is July 15th. I think that's Monday. Her work, all of her writings in the Free Speech, Memphis Free Speech and Light paper. We want to thank the Honorable Ida B. Wells for being so outspoken and articulate. She was an advocate of equal protection under the law and civil rights for Black people. And we were talking about, Feather Light, you mentioned the shaming aspect of how we have to shame people. And that's something that we've discussed. And I know I've been seeing other people or hearing about other people talk about the shaming aspect and how effective that is. And that's, I picked that up from Ida B. Wells. That is something that Ida B. Wells adopted in order to have some type of impact on ending the lynchings. She went over to Great Britain and she would meet with some of the women's groups over there. And so she had to actually shame America by leaving the country and spreading the word to other countries about how Black people were being lynched. And that had an impact. Her efforts had an impact in ceasing, in some sense, the most horrible lynchings that were taking place. The lynchings have not stopped. We already know that. Lynchings haven't stopped in the true sense of lynchings and the high-tech lynchings also. So thank you, Ida B. Wells. We honor you, the Honorable Ida B. Wells Barnett. And if you have not read Red Record, read Ida B. Wells. I have her biography, Crusade for Justice, the autobiography of Ida B. Wells, edited by Alfreda M. Duster. I think Duster was her granddaughter. I did have an opportunity to meet Ida B. Wells' grandson, though, years ago. So, Ida B. Wells. All right, back to Kalenia Spring. I met him they have a birthday celebration there in Mississippi for Ida B. Wells each year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I went to the museum and there was, you know, the birthday celebration for her. So I had a chance to meet him. So it was great. Absolutely. Ida B. Wells. All right, then. So you were talking, Kalenia. Did you have any questions for Feather Light before I jump in?
No. I just wanted to say... Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. So when you all were talking about shaming, one of the things that, you know, we're putting, like, individual people on blast, but I think what would be very good to do is that these killers that are masquerading as police, they be put on blast, and they be followed, and their money be disrupted. Literally, the same way these other people are losing their jobs, right? They need to lose their jobs. Yeah. If the court system will not do anything about it, right, making their lives uncomfortable, you can't just kill our people and walk away and think there is no consequence. It's absolutely unacceptable. And Martin Luther King said, you know what, there comes a time when silence is betrayal. I also know there comes a time when in our silence, we're betraying our own soul, we're betraying our own truth. When we watch this, and it's not like we're just sitting back and allowing it, but it's the helplessness that so many of us feel
right, that don't look like know what to do. But that's where you receive instruction from Spirit. And that's why that space is so important. Everything starts right there. And our when we look at this and we see the inhumanity and we see these people, we say they behave as if they have no soul. They don't. They don't. They're operating without a conscience. They will convict a Michael Vick of harming dogs. But they will kill a man in cold blood and think nothing of it.
And think nothing of it. Kill
nothing
child
of it.
In cold blood. Shoot a little 8-year-old child like what was her name? Aliana. Aliana up in Detroit. And then try to say, no, her grandmother shot him. Not only would you deny that you shot and killed her, but you try to put it on the grandmother. And you, don't even get me started.
Yeah, and
but,
that's.
I was just going to say, what can some people do, say, for instance, tonight, this week, this weekend, what can people do to go into a sacred space and just to, like, heal from some of what they may be experiencing right now?
Well, one of the things that I think is very powerful is actually, like you said, going into that space. And you can take, you don't have to have a whole lot of stuff. Just create an altar. An altar is a place where you say, this is where I'm going to go. And you literally can have a candle. If you don't have a candle, get a rock from nature, a bowl, put some water in it, right? It's something very simple. It's something that represents nature. Nature is a reflection of our nature. When we're in nature, there's a peace that comes over us, right?
There's a
healing energy in nature.
Definitely.
And so, so this space that you create, just a little space, nothing fancy. If you're more spiritual, you know about all the stones and the crystals or whatever, you can do that too. But a place where you go, no matter what your belief is, maybe you believe in the Bible, maybe you are believing in the Quran, whatever it is. As people of African descent, what they have taken away is our connection with our ancestors and ancestresses. So that may not be real for you right now. So go and communicate with the God of your understanding in that space. And in that space, be honest and sit there and literally speak, or you can write if you don't. I don't like to write because when I write, so much comes through, I get tired. But whether you write, you journal, or you sit and you speak your pain, speak it. Because if you can't hear you, nobody else can hear you, right? You're in a relationship, and that relationship is not working. If you keep getting angry at that person when they're doing certain things, it doesn't help the situation get better. It only gets better when you change, when you shift. And so we really need to begin to hear. And that comes from being in the present moment. So when you go into this sacred space, it's just time for you to be with you, you and the God of your understanding. And you don't have to try and quiet your mind. Whatever is on your mind, just bring it forth. Because what I've learned is that our pain feeds our ancestors and our ancestresses, just like the carbon dioxide we breathe out feeds the trees. And the oxygen they breathe out feeds us, right? Our ancestors and ancestresses are spiritually cultivated ones. They have an assignment to help to guide us. They're all part of God's system, have an assignment to help guide us. And when we're not aware of them, they can't do their job. And they may be speaking to us, but we can't hear them. And so we keep running up against walls. And so what you can do tonight or tomorrow, pick a time and don't be harsh, be gentle with yourself. But go into that space, even if it's for 2 minutes. Place your hand on your heart and just call yourself by name and just say, I love you.
Oh,
and it's okay.
Yes.
I know you've been through a hell of a lot. It's okay. You're still standing. It's okay, right? Because some people are giving up. Some people are like, God, I can't do this one more day. I can't do this one more hour. But in that space, when you partner with, you literally are being your best friend in that space. The way you would want somebody else to love you,
to hear your heart, to hear your pain, to hear your vulnerability. In that space, that's the space to do it. So whatever your belief is, it doesn't matter. Just go into that space. If you can't even, sometimes we can't speak our pain. We just feel it. Just go and sit in that space and sit in the silence. If you can sit just for 1 minute, that's fine. You don't have to quiet your mind. But if you can't give a command to your body and have it follow, right, you're not going to be able to get to the place where you can create a space to think and to move out of the place that you're in. It requires your presence. The instructions that we get from our ancestors and our ancestresses come in the moment. It comes in real time. And some people maybe on this line know that they were in a situation and something told them, you better leave and leave now. And if they didn't leave or when they left, all hell broke loose, right? And because they listen, it saved their life. This communication happens in real time. It's not some esoteric, airy-fairy thing. It's real. It's real. Very real. And so in this space, this is where we begin to heal, and we begin to heal at levels that we're not even conscious of. Now, some people can't go in that place by themselves because the pain that they've experienced is so much and so overwhelming. But I have a call, and if I can give my number, and you will text me. Okay, so you just text Sacred Spaces.
Okay.
To 202-766-6269.
Okay.
And I will send you information about a weekly call that I have. And this is a space where it's safe to say what is weighing you down. Because anger, rage, betrayal, the sadness, the helplessness, the hopelessness we feel, those are actually our best friends. And when we embrace them and we bring them close, we literally are able to reclaim the power that they've had to stop us in our life. We reclaim that energy, and now we can redirect it. Mm. But we have to be very present. We have to be, when I say present with it, we have to be able to acknowledge it. So I said, place your hand on your heart, call yourself by name, and say, I love you. This is what I do for myself. So I'm not just telling you all something to do. Because when I was in deep pain, and it's not like I don't have pain now, I do. It's not like I don't have disruption in my life right now, I do. But it's what helps me to keep moving. Yes. And sometimes life will seem like it stops you dead in your tracks. But it's spirit trying to get your attention. And when you stop, wisdom will begin to speak. And when wisdom begins to speak, doors begin to open. Your heart begins to open, and you can walk again. And if we have hope, we have something to move towards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole purpose of Sacred Spaces, is a place to release that ancestral pain, reconnect with our spiritually cultivated ancestors and ancestresses, and begin to formulate, to receive the messages about what direction we're supposed to move, so that we move implicitly when we hear, go left, we go left. When we hear, go right, go right. Talk to this person, say this, say that. We do it, and we don't doubt ourselves. But psychiatry and psychology was never meant to free us. So our experiences that are outside this normal three-dimensional reality, they will codify it, classify it as something, and medicate it. Now, some people, because of their experiences, need some medication to help balance themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the majority of us.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a place of healing and reconnection.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I just sent a text to the number. Just give that number out again for people that may not have been able to. Because
okay,
I did send out my Sacred Spaces text. so that I can show her. Yes.
Okay. All right. So it's 202-766-6269.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. We're going to go ahead on and get ready to close out. And we always appreciate you taking the time to share. And again, of course, we want to have you come.
Before we let her go.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Two things I wanted to say. I have always felt that this is a spiritual war that we're going to have to fight. It's a spiritual war. Because the weapons, the physical weapons, are much stronger than we can really fight. For instance, the police you mentioned earlier. To me, and I've always felt this way, and more so now, they are children of the courts. They're like the children of the court. It's like when your child does something that somebody else thinks is really, really bad, and they come to you and they said, your child did such and such. The first thing the mother is going to say, well, I'm sure they didn't mean it. That's not like Johnny. Johnny's a sweet child, and what did your child do to prompt Johnny to smash him in the face? So that's the way the court looks at the policeman, and that's more confirmed now that they've been placed in a protected class. Number two, part of our, well, the main issue with blacks this day, in this time, is that, and our caller was trying to say, is that slavery never ended. It was never abolished. It, the 13th Amendment, you have to actually read the words. You have to actually read between the lines, and then just read the words, because it's not gone. It's still here. So what the court has to do, only thing they have to do is say, hey, you committed a crime, back into, you know, you're a slave. Okay. So that's a big issue, and the root cause of our problems. But again, back to the spirituality, that's where we've got to go. We've got to reconnect with our ancestors, find that space, the meditation space, because we do get messages. But just like if your line is always busy, your telephone line is always busy, you can't get a call through.
Absolutely.
If your line is always busy. So we have to open up and be receptive to our ancestors, to our spiritual side, and our intuition. And we all have it. Even men have intuition. The women are just more in tune to it. So I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And thank you so much. We need this. We need this. We need healing more than anything. And we can do this spiritually.
Yes.
And you must come back.
I truly believe that's how we dismantled this. And it may not, it took thousands of years to get here.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to take thousands of years, but we have to build a foundation upon which our children can take it to another level.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The blueprint has been set, and we just have to follow it. So thank you, Carlinia. We appreciate you, and I look forward to the weekly call.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
take
I will
care.
Do the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Yay. Wait, I got to give Carlinia her applause, too. Oh, gosh. Yes. All right. Because, baby, we need that healing. Woo!
Oh, my gosh.
Mm. Mm-hmm. We need that healing. I'll tell anybody. Take advantage of a sacred space. And like she said, you can join that call at 202-7269. Just send a text, sacred spaces, and join the call. All right, Featherlight, what do you have for us?
Let me see.
Let me see.
Said the blind man. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Color. Speaking of healing. Color healing is something that is used everywhere. You can find color healing in the hospitals. You can find color healing in your home. You can find, well, I won't say color healing in the prisons, but color is used in prisons to register a certain mood, okay? I'm sure it's not lively blues and all of that. And I speaking of color, I don't know what prison, but I did hear, this is some years ago, that the prisons were they were making the males wear pink, either pink house shoes.
Oh, that was that crazy the sheriff. What was his name? Sheriff Shapiro or something like that. That was the one, the sheriff that Trump recently pardoned. He's in Arizona.
Ah. Oh, okay. So colors carry properties, and everything is energy, as we've already established. Everything is energy, including color. Light is energy, and color is just light on different vibrations. So I wanted to and it's called chromotherapy, by the way. So let me just let our audience know about the color black. And all the colors have a positive and a negative side. We'll just talk about it. The positive of black. Black is the color of the person who keeps control by not giving information to others. Black indicates that something is lying dormant or buried. It is connected to philosophical thoughts and ideals. Black foods heighten your awareness of the magic within you. And with that spirituality again, at the heart of black is discipline. This brings about freedom, which is wonderfully liberating. Any cause that gives genuine support and works toward the light is working with the magic of black. Black can complete the incomplete. The mystic arts relate to black. Now, every color has opposites. The opposites in the color black are abundance and nothingness. I choose abundance. What do you choose, Black Rose?
Abundance. Abundance, abundance. I want my cup to overflow, baby. Definitely. Overflow. Not just be filled, but to overflow.
Overflow. So that abundance. You can have something give to someone else. All right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's my did you know on color.
Oh. Wow. Did you know?
Okay. We're going to go a little bit deep into chromotherapy. Therapy too, because we're all about healing on mind, body, and spirit, and chromotherapy is healing. And I want to, we want to let the people, our audience know about healing with colors.
Healing with colors, yeah.
I have a good book on that, so we'll share a little bit more. So, is there anything else you wanted to share before we get into relaxing for the evening, or R&R?
I'll just share quickly. The gemstone for tonight is opal. And the opal, the appearance is a fiery shifting colors. Properties of the opal enhances cosmic consciousness, originality, and dynamic creativity. Produces visions, brings loyalty, faithfulness, spontaneity, amplifies traits, emotionally responsive, encourages emotional stability, treats infections and fevers, purifies blood and kidneys, regulates insulin. So for diabetics or people that are suffering from kidney problems, you can use this opal gemstone. Eases childbirth and treats Parkinson's disease. And you
powerful.
Just wear it on the little finger. I didn't realize opal was that powerful. I didn't know opal had all those properties.
I'll have to get opal. I don't have opal.
I don't have an opal either. I didn't know it was that powerful. I don't know. Wow. I'll be looking for one. Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We have so much magic out there that is available to us if we just learn about it, just become aware of it, aware of the powers that we have accessible to us.
Indeed. Everything is here that we need. It's been hidden from us.
Yes, it has. So let's wind down for the night. Let's see. So we're going to do a little breathing and a little bit of Qigong. So if you'll just, first of all, we're going to start our breathing session with a greeting. So stand, place your feet together, bring your hands into the Angela Mudra, which is a prayer in hands, and take a slight bow or nod, and say to yourself out loud or silently, the God in me honors the God in you, or the divine in me honors the divine in you, which is what namaste means. So namaste. And raise your arms out to the side and up over your head. And slowly bring them down. You're bringing down your energy. You're smoothing out your energy. Once again, but this time use your breath. Inhale. Arms up. Circle up. Look up. Pause. And exhale. And slowly bring the energy down over your crown, your shoulders, chest, hips, and down toward the floor. One more time. Inhale. Up. Pause. Exhale. And the slower you move, the more you will begin to feel your own energy. And once you can feel your energy, you will learn how your energy is affecting your moods and what you do. It's another spiritual side of ourselves. So this is a Qigong exercise that lowers your blood pressure. It's called Painting with Light, and I've given a demonstration on the BTR page. So if you signed up for BTR, just log on to the Mind, Body, and Spirit group page, and you will see me doing the Painting with Light. So stand, inhale, and raise your arms to shoulder height, both palms down with your fingers pointing toward the earth. Exhale, sink your knees a little and bring your arms slowly down, facing away from you, and your hands will look like you're doing a stop sign, okay? So let's do that. Inhale, raise your arms up to shoulder height, both palms down, fingers pointing down toward the earth. Exhale, sink your knees a little and bring your arms down slowly with your palms facing away as if you're going to say stop. Your hands should reach hip level before starting again. So it's like you're painting. It's like you're painting a wall with both of your hands. Both of your hands have paintbrushes. So you go up the wall and then down the wall. Up the wall and down the wall. This is a great exercise to do first thing in the morning. You only need to do about 5 or 6. You can also do it at night because it calms you. It calms you. So once more, inhale, raise your arms to shoulder height, both palms down, fingers pointing down. Exhale, sink your knees a little and bring your arms slowly down with palms facing away from you as if you're saying stop. Okay, so that's our Qigong for tonight. And for our closing, take your arms out to the side again in a circle. Form a triangle overhead, and then slowly bring the triangle down to your lower abdomen. And this is your center point, your energy center point. Take a deep breath in and exhale. Once more, inhale and exhale. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again next week. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you for the light. Namaste. I'm always relaxed after our pranayama. We appreciate you. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Kalinia. And thank you, Tareen, for joining us tonight. We'll be back on next week. And if you have not heard about the story about the black farmers have been sold fake seeds in the Memphis, Tennessee area, my hometown. And so the fake seeds that they were sold, that were sold to them, of course, they're not able to produce any crops. So this is an attempt, what they're saying is, this is an attempt to steal their land, to capture their land. Because if you don't have any crops, then you go bankrupt. So pay attention to this. And I really hope that they are able to resolve this in some kind of way, because I think that's just absolutely horrible. Again, systematic racism. How are you selling these black farmers a different type of seed? That's crazy. Peace and good night. Thank you.